This episode is supported by Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I just randomly, Vinny was having a toe skin irritation issue, and he ended up having this like skin that was really irritating him, and it was getting kind of like icky, and you know, like when kids start to get like little scabs and scratches and then they want to pick at it, and it was getting worse. And so Active Skin Repair showed up on my doorstep as a result of the sponsorship, and I got to put it to use immediately. And I got the ointment formula, or the like ointment formulation, and then also the spray, and the spray was perfect. So Vinny does not like ointmenty, creamy, lotiony things on his body, but I was able to get out the spray, literally took it out of the packaging the day it arrived, put it on his toe before he went to bed. And the next morning he was like, "Mom, my toe's all better." It was literally like this super amazing cure that helped his toes so quickly. So you can use Active Skin Repair on a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, other types of skin damage. It's totally safe, non-toxic, suitable on all types of skin, even parts of the body where you might have rosacea or eczema or have acne-prone skin. This is also safe for the youngest members of your family up to the oldest. So now you have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews and super safe and clean ingredients, Active Skin Repair is something that you want to have on hand for your family. So to get your own Active Skin Repair, go to activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code SHAMELESS. That's activeskinrepair.com. Use the code SHAMELESS for 20% off your order. activeskinrepair.com, code SHAMELESS. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 666 with Penny Decree. Show notes for this episode, including any links mentioned in the episode, can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 666. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean. I'm here to give you and other passionate, driven, unapologetic moms tools, resources, and a little bit of humor to help you lead more positive, powerful, and purposeful lives every damn day. One of the best things about the Shameless Mom Academy is our community, so be sure to join us in our free private Facebook group to connect with other shameless moms just like you. You can find us over at shamelessmom.com/Facebook. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Born and raised in Detroit, Penny Decree began her career in construction management, working on many of the commercial projects that dots the city's downtown skyline. After deciding to start a family and giving birth to two boys, Penny wanted to make sure her sons saw themselves and were affirmed early on in the literature that they read. She knew championing them and teaching them how to empower themselves at an early age would fortify their foundation as they grew older and faced new challenges as Black males growing up in America. Preparing them early for societal forces that would work against them as a priority in her parenting strategy. Penny began reciting morning affirmations with her two sons, who were toddler-aged at the time. Penny then decided to transform their affirmations into a book for them and others. Witnessing the power of affirmations in her own life and their little beginnings is what fueled the journey of writing and sharing her debut book, I Am Enough, with others. Founding Decreed Publishing, along with her two sons, was the next step to continue the impact on Black youth. Together, they create empowering children's books and products to help parents ground their children in truth and take control of their destiny. Listen in to hear Penny share how she started to incorporate affirmations with her very young sons to help with anything from potty training to being young Black boys. How to use fluid and flexible affirmations with your kids as they grow and evolve. How she is using affirmations with Black boys so they can own their truth and their worth in a society that puts a target on their back. The importance of diversity in children's literature for Black kids and white kids. The reality of, quote, both Americas for Black people. The difference in reality between my white son and Penny's Black sons playing with police cars at a young age. And the dignity afforded white children versus Black children in our current culture. There's a lot in this episode. We dig in. It's heavy, it's juicy, but Penny does it all with such grace. I'm so excited for her to be here. I'm so honored that she's here to share. I think that the work she's doing is beautiful and really, really important. So with all that said, please join me in welcoming Penny Decree to the Shameless Mom Academy. Penny, welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So I told you we have to tell people from the jump here that you're a shameless mom of a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, as you shared with me. And also, go ahead and tell people how pregnant you are.
35 weeks.
35 weeks pregnant.
And yes,
kudos to you for doing a podcast interview when you're 35 weeks pregnant, because you're in that phase where you just want to not be pregnant, but you still have those last few weeks can feel a little long.
Oh my goodness. Yes. So many emotions, so much physical uncomfortability, but you know, just keeping on pressing on. That's what us moms do.
And you're chasing a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old at the same time.
Oh my goodness. Yes. But you know what? My 6-year-old, I call him, he's the project manager. Oh. I say, so, you know, you're in charge now, you know. Nice. He takes heed to that title. So I don't really have to worry about, you know, my 3-year-old going into the cabinets, pouring out things right now, or, you know, because I have a project manager that's in charge.
I love it. So I'm an oldest, and I would have loved for my mom to have given me that title, because I would have really owned, like, Sarah's in charge. I'm the boss of everyone. You need to follow my rules. Mm-hmm. And I would have loved that.
I have to do mind games on them. See, yeah, that really works. Like, you're the project manager.
Yep.
Okay.
So good. So good. So tell us a little bit, which you've already started to, a little bit about the dynamics of your personal and professional life beyond your bio and what you're most excited about right now. And maybe it's just about not being pregnant, but is there anything else going on you want to share, or anything else you're excited about?
Oh my goodness. Yes. You know, being a mom and an entrepreneur right now, I had to adjust myself once having kids. So I came from the construction world, construction management, but right now, especially the way things are going in the pandemic, I had to have flexibility, and I just had to adjust myself. So I decided to just launch into entrepreneurship. Don't give up on my professional career, but just rebrand it a little bit. And so I'm creating books and empowering products for kids at the moment. So my professional and personal life, it kind of coexists perfectly at times, and it also collides at times.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, I'm grateful. I'm also a homeschooling mom. So I'm grateful for the flexibility of entrepreneurship as well as homeschool. Actually, I like to call it on the go schooling, because we learn everywhere. We don't just sit at home. We learn everywhere. That's how our schooling is. But, you know, I get to adjust our everyday schedules really accordingly. So that's beautiful with the flexibility that both provide.
Yeah. Love that. Mm-hmm. You are one of millions of moms who in the pandemic have made shifts and changed things to be able to meet the needs of your family, to be able to evolve and adapt in ways that you didn't see coming, but also now it sounds like in ways that ultimately have been beneficial to you and your family.
Definitely. And, you know, it's just a sacrifice that I had to come to terms with. And it's also perspective. You know, I can look at it as a complete sacrifice, or I can look at it as just an adjustment. Mm-hmm. So I prefer the adjustment angle, and that's how I did. So, you know, what it comes down to at this point of me still pursuing what I want to pursue is either staying up late or waking up extra early while the kids are still asleep so I can get things done. And, you know, also I had to get creative with our daily schedules. I had to incorporate a time for me in the schedules. Both children have stopped taking naps, so the quiet time, freedom is gone. That was
so my condolences.
Yeah. And, you know, by me homeschooling, it's like, okay, you know, I need some type of space in the day. So I had to get creative, and we still have quiet time, my 6-year-old and 3-year-old. And I actually had to mind play them. So I call it in my zone time.
Love it.
Everyone's on it.
I love all of your little workarounds to make the kids feel like they're like all grown up.
Yeah.
Project managers with their in the zone time.
Yes. You know, it actually works, you know, and I have like a whole little, I have sheet with options for them. They can play music with headphones, or Actually, my oldest, I book a lot of his coding classes or music classes, things that interest him so he can be occupied. My youngest has quiet bands already pre-made and activities or challenges. And then I get to do me. I get to do my business or whatever it is I need to do. We all have our zoning in time.
I so love that's it. Kind
of like one of the ways I had to get creative with homeschooling and, you know, still being able to do the entrepreneur thing during the pandemic. Or are we still in the pandemic? Is this post-pandemic?
I know. We talk about it like it's gone, which is so not gone.
Exactly.
I mean, we're recording this in April and it won't go live for a couple months. So maybe it'll be different by then, but I don't know. I suspect it'll kind of be the same. Like exactly. It'll still be here, but we'll be pretending that it's not.
Right. It's still a weird time frame of not being completely done with the aftermath. So
yeah.
So that's kind of like, it's just constantly thinking of ways where, hey, mommy has to have her time in. So we need to think of something. Mm-hmm.
I would love to talk about identity a bit. I love you have this identity as a school on the go mom and now as an entrepreneur. And so you've already identified these different parts of yourself, these different pieces that make up who you are. I would love to talk about your shift into motherhood and how motherhood shifted your identity, because I know that that also aligns with the work that you do and then with your book, which we're going to talk about in just a minute.
Completely. When I had my first son, well, before he was born, I was completely overwhelmed. But then the way I approached it is I just immersed myself around experienced moms, whether it was through articles, through blogs, through videos, phone calls, joining groups. I'm a researcher. So I felt more at ease just immersing myself with tips, tricks. That was at every stage. So once my son was born, you know, you go through all these different phases, the no sleep, zombie life, newborn phase. So I was researching tips on that. And then you go through I did nursing. So I had to have tips on that, you know, so I just kept trying to, where is my life? How can I get through this? And that's how I approach motherhood. I mean, well, still approach it because I'm at a new phase now. You know, I have a first grader. I already been through the toddler stage, but then again, each child is different. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly seeking advice from these experienced moms. Like now my concern is food prep because these boys here are eating so much food. Like they need a personal caterer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm trying to figure out, you know, I need all the tips I can get at this point for food prep or whatever it is that I can get through this stage where they won't be hungry all the time and me in the kitchen all the time so I can get something done.
Yeah.
But that's how I approached it with the research, and I continue to approach it with the research because, you know, I feel more at ease just getting those tips and life-saving tips. I had some life-saving tips come through along each phase. And my identity, it kind of evolves. It's not that so much that I'm not the same person anymore. I mean, it evolves me. So it's bigger, expanded to include being responsible for two young boys who are men in training. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the many other hats I wear as a wife, as an entrepreneur, it's going to continue to expand. Especially as we go through these stages of their growth. I have no idea what having a teenager is going to feel like. But, you know, I might be wearing another hat then. I might be the baseball mom. I might actually be cooking for the whole team at that point.
Let's talk about the book. So tell me about how your experience in motherhood led you to the book. I would love to hear what inspired the book, and then you can tell us a little bit about what the book is about. So you have a book called I Am Enough. Tell us about that.
Yes. Oh my goodness. You know, giving birth to two Black boys, early on, it was a priority of mine to affirm them because I knew that they will be faced with many societal forces against them. And I knew championing them and teaching them how to empower themselves at an early age would, you know, fortify their foundation as they grew older and faced new challenges. Mm-hmm. So I started this journey really reciting morning affirmations with my two sons. And I decided to transform them into a book because I was looking for a book to expand upon our affirmation sessions. But unfortunately, I didn't have success in finding a book that I felt was really given what we needed for affirming our young boys. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we would incorporate in our affirmation sessions, we would incorporate the typical positive ones, but along with customized ones that we felt based on the challenges that arose in our lives. At that point, my son was starting preschool. Yeah, starting preschool. So he was still potty training. So we incorporated potty training affirmations. Something as simple as that. And I kid you not, I had struggled when it was about a week into those, after a week of it, maybe it was time, but I believe the affirmations had something to do with it. After a week into affirming, I like going to the potty. When I feel pee, I go to the potty. I'm a big boy who potties. I love pottying. Like, it doesn't have to be, it can be whatever the goal is that you're trying to make. But, you know, he would say things like, oh, I messed up, or I missed, or it's hard for me. And I said, no. Okay, it may be hard, but we're going to, what is our goal? You are a big boy. You love going to the potty. You know, so things like that. Yeah. Like something as simple as potty training, along with, you know, I am smart, I am brave, I am confident. That also helped because I noticed he would invert.
What do you mean by that?
Because he was so used to being at home with me all those years. That was his first time, both of us being away from each other. And the school had cameras, so we can watch our children throughout their length of being there. Mm-hmm. And he would invert into shyness, or he wouldn't participate in activities that he loved to do, that I knew he loved to do, like playing with the blocks and things. Mm-hmm. But then when we started to incorporate, you know, I am confident, we had our little fun affirmation sessions on our ride. I love to raise my hand. I love, like, things like that. I noticed that he started to shift.
Oh my gosh.
And maybe it was a combination with the length of time of him being there, but I think everything works together.
Yeah. This episode is supported by AquaTrue. Having clean, safe water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water. So that's why you got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers have a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers, which is what we have, take no installation or plumbing, and they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. And they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS, which can lead to potentially adverse health effects like cancer, endocrine system disruption, and liver toxicity, which is part of what makes AquaTrue so special, unique, and important in terms of how they are able to filter water. They also have water purifiers to fit every type of home. So like the installation-free countertop purifier that we have at our house, to higher capacity under sink options. They even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. So I'm so excited about our new AquaTrue. And here's the thing. I swear it's like a gentle reminder to actually drink more water every time you walk into your kitchen. So we are drinking more water now, and also more clean water. So more water that is more clean. It feels like a double win. I'm feeling pretty impressed with us. I feel like sink water, tap water becomes invisible at a certain point. And when I see the purifier on my counter, it's like many time a day reminder to like, keep drinking. So I want you to check out AquaTrue for yourself and for your family. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money back guarantee, and that makes it a great gift as well. Today, my listeners listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to aquatrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter the code Shameless at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to aquatrue.com and use the code Shameless, S-H-A-M-E-L-E-S-S. AquaTrue.com, code Shameless. This episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert, Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explains. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. So you have this, sounds like, really powerful and positive experience with your son. How do we see that play out in the book? So the book is Affirmations, is that right?
Yes, it is. The book, our two goals, really, we wanted parents to be able to not only read through the book, but apply the principles that are in the book. So the main two goals was empower our young boys and have those principles applied in their lives. So, you know, one day they're going to be leaders of families, leaders of businesses. So when young boys finish reading through the book, the most important thing we want them to be able to take away is for them to know that they have the power within themselves to not only empower themselves, but to also discover early on how to build themselves up in their minds. Mm-hmm. And use the power of speaking in life into themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just important, we feel, for kids at an early age to become acquainted with the power of affirmations, of speaking life into yourselves, mm-hmm. of themselves, rather.
Mm-hmm. I have a follow-up question on that.
Yeah.
Because I think I totally agree with everything you're saying. And also, I'm conscientious of the fact that there's an added layer for young Black boys to be able to speak these affirmations. Can you speak to that a little bit as you're raising Black sons? And what's the power and the significance of these affirmations for them that might be different than my child, who's a white boy, practicing affirmations?
Definitely. You know, it's just a fact that we live in different Americas. Well, mm-hmm. it's the experience is what is different. That's why I wanted to early on affirm my boys, because they need this foundation, because this is going to get them through. If they have this foundation, they're going to be facing many challenges, societal systems in place, and they need to know how to build themselves up, how to direct their own paths. You know, they not even going along with the studies, there's been studies that have shown that teaching positive affirmations at a young age helps kids develop a healthy sense of self and better prepare them with tools to overcome difficult situations they may face at later stages mm-hmm. in their lives. So with that proof from these studies, you know, I believe that my kids knowing themselves, no matter what someone else comes against them with, mm-hmm. the truth will ride. The truth will keep them up. The truth will let them know and what to do, how to respond, because you don't have to respond to things if it's not true. You mm-hmm. know your own truth. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the problem can lie when kids do not know their worth, do not know yeah. their truth, and they, you know, become victims or manipulated with the negative things that comes against them, the negative forces from society. It's just different being a mom with raising Black sons. You know, it's a heavy feeling when things happen to young Black youth with no yeah. explanation, when they haven't even done anything wrong. Especially during the pandemic, I mean, we've seen several cases come to fruition, like George Floyd. With these topics, it's like I struggle because my kids mm-hmm. are young.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then again, my six-year-old, he's tall. He's almost taller than me. And he wears hoodies like Travis. So I have to, even with these difficult topics, I have to still find a way to bring it up to my children, because it's important that I prepare them. If they're out playing with, you know, friends that are not their skin color, certain things they can't do because they will yeah. be targets.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about inclusivity in literature, because this is also part of your mission. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of diversity and inclusion in literature and how that connects to your book, I Am Enough?
Yes. Representation, it really matters.
Yeah.
Literature included. My kids love books. So, you know, it was important to me that I build their library things that they can relate to, and especially they can see themselves in. Because when, you know, these type of things, it helps cultivate who they define as heroes, professionals, beautiful, worthy. And when my children can see a representation of themselves in these ideals, like, that is what's necessary. I don't know if you're familiar with, it was a study that it was presented on Anderson Cooper a few years ago, mm-hmm. where children, Black and white, they were presented with an array of dials from the spectrum of white all the way to the darkest skin tone. And they were asked questions as to which dial was smart, which dial was nice, which dial was dumb, which dial was mean, etc. Positive and negative questions. And, you know, if you're not familiar with, the results came back and it showed that a majority of the kids equated the negative connotations with the darker skin dials. Both Black and white children equated the negative connotations with the darker skin dials, and vice versa. So, you know, these biases exist due to what kids are exposed to. And literature is a big part of what kids are exposed to that plays a part into who they see as smart, who they see as someone who's a firefighter,
yeah,
who they see as someone as the villain. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we have that representation that, oh, I can be that, or wow, maybe I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. And creating I Am Enough, we definitely wanted to have that representation and have those parts in the book where they can recite, I am confident. I am focused on my business. I listen to my mommy and daddy. And they can see illustration. The illustration is what speaks. Vibrant illustration that shows themselves as being confident,
mm-hmm.
as, you know, being the hero in a situation, being their own hero, affirming themselves.
Yeah.
That was critical.
Something I want to add, I love everything you just said. And something I want to add that I think is an important layer as well is that, of course, you as a Black mom want your Black sons to see themselves represented in literature. The other thing that I think is really important for white parents is that we need to also see Black children represented in positive ways in literature. So when we look at literature with children of color, we need to recognize the importance of our white kids, or in my case, my white son, seeing books with Black children who are strong and powerful and full of joy and who are playing just like he does and going to the park just like he does and eating ice cream just like he does and really exemplifying similarities. And so that we're not always creating this narrative around my Black or my white child should not only see Black children being oppressed. And this is something I learned from my good friend, Jasmine Bradshaw. She's like, your white kids need to know about Black joy. She's like, yeah, be a responsible parent and teach them about systemic racism and the, you know, as it's age appropriate, the really harsh realities of facing children of color in our country. And also, like, let your kids see a Black kid eating an ice cream cone in a book.
Exactly.
And I think that especially when we look at post George Floyd's murder, I think that so many parents, white parents like me, wanted to be so conscientious of making sure that their kids had a level of understanding around race and really the realities around race, that there can be this need to educate your children in ways that can be disempowering to Black kids and white kids when you're only pointing out that a Black kid wearing a hoodie in a park might be treated differently than a white kid. Yes, your white kids should know that and also be able to see the, like you said, Black kids being doctors and police officers and like whatever the positive, powerful, influential components in society are as well.
Exactly. And I think that's especially like their children. Like, let them be shown as children. Like, this is a time where, you know, there's no responsibilities. Yeah. There's no heavy burden of being an adult. Like, let's present our kids with empowering things, empowering truth. Like, it's the truth. Like, let's get past all of these things, these tactics, and just present truth. Like, yeah, show us eating ice cream. show us laughing. Show a smile on the boy's face. Show him looking nice, fresh and clean and cool, you know, cool outfits. And, you know, I think an awareness, that's just the biggest thing. As long as people who aren't Black or raising Black sons, if they're aware, just being aware of the realities that are in America, because my experience is, well, from my interaction, some white moms aren't even aware that there's an issue or that there's a problem with certain things like that's going on. And when we are raising our sons, we are, oh, that's a tongue twister.
You're hyper aware. Like, top of mind always.
Exactly. We're aware of both Americas. That's just a way of saying both experiences, because it's just like, we don't deny, I guess one of the sayings that we hear a lot is like, someone, sometimes they'll say like, I see no color, or I don't see color, but you know, it's kind of a problem if you don't see color, because you're denying that experience from that.
You're not aware of both Americas. That's for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. You're just completely ignoring it.
Yeah.
And that's going to present a whole array of issues, because, you know, you're denying the history, you're denying what they need specifically and how they may be treated if they go to a certain area or neighborhood is being insensitive.
This episode is supported by EarnIn. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn now can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Super, super easy to use. You just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. So the app is free. You can leave a tip if you want. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. So here's the thing. Sometimes getting close to your next paycheck, next pay period, and you realize, oh gosh, like, paycheck doesn't come until next Friday, but we have this event that we need to attend this weekend and we need money for it. Or we have to buy a gift for someone. Or, oh my gosh, like, my kid tore through their shoes and now we have to buy new shoes this weekend and the money's not in the bank yet. So EarnIn can help you access the money you've already earned at work by giving you this little bit of money in advance. So make Earnin part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security, and it gives me a lot of peace of mind. So for our listeners, all you need to do is download Earnin today. It's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, and you can download it in Google Play or the Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Shameless Mom under podcast when you sign up. So there'll be a little place where you can, where it says, what podcast did you hear about them on? Type in Shameless Mom under podcast. This helps to show support for our show and our advertisers. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, and subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. This episode is supported by Air Doctor. You probably don't know that Americans take in about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. The indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause upper respiratory symptoms like sneezing, coughing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. I am so excited that we just got our own Air Doctor for our house, and we will have it all up and running and ready to go in time for all the things that come with spring weather, but also smoke season, which is just around the corner for those of us in the Pacific Northwest. And I know many of you across the country. So here's how you can get your own Air Doctor. First of all, Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code Shameless, and you'll receive up to $300 off of air purifiers. Exclusive to our podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro, airdoctorpro.com, and use the promo code Shameless. That's airdoctorpro.com, code Shameless. I so appreciate you, and you've mentioned it a couple times now, mentioning or sharing both Americas and being clear on that that's a reality and that that's a really legitimate thing with a really legitimate title. And there's two really different experiences. And for everyone to have an awareness of that, I think is so important. And for us to constantly, you know, if you're in a primarily white community, it's going to be easy to not see
exactly
the other America, even though it exists. And I will say I've been guilty of this. I remember my mom making a comment when President Obama was elected the first time. And she's like, oh my goodness. We were so excited, first of all, but she said, I'm just so worried. I don't know if our country can handle a Black president because there's so much racism. And I was in this super white bubble. And I was like, Mom, like, I think people are really excited about, like, he got elected. Like, that means that people are ready for this. And she's like, they're not ready. And I was really shocked by her reaction. And I was just taking this as like, this is a sign we're ready. And she's like, I don't think we are. And now, like, we've seen, like, my mom is such an Obama fan. She has like pictures of him framed around the house and stuff. It's kind of hilarious. And it's like, there was so many of us who were ready, and we've seen so many people now that are not ready, and they
are not ready.
And they continue to not be ready, and they make active choices to not be ready. And so I think that really sitting with that fact, that it is a fact that there's two Americas, and what does that mean for everyone? What's the responsibility for everyone to manage that reality? An example that you shared with me when you submitted to be on the show, you gave an example about the inner conflict that you experience when your Black sons are playing innocently with police cars. And I think this is a great example of both Americas. So if my kid, which happened many times between the age of like 2 and 5, was playing with little police cars on the floor and like making sirens go and like doing all of this pretend little police stuff, there's a big difference between your child doing this and my child. And so and the conversations that would come out of that experience. And so what do you want white parents to know about the way you see the world as a Black mom raising Black sons, even when it comes down to play like that at an early age?
Exactly. Like I mentioned earlier, it's kind of heavy. And I had to ask my mom, like, how, and aunts, you know, raising Black sons, like, how did they get through this without, you know, crying all the, like, just
being utterly broken.
Yes, because it's so much worry. My son is getting taller, like I said, and I just, when they're playing and things, it's just an instant thought. It wasn't even something I had to just dwell on. It was just an instant thought because I grew up with males being mistreated by the police with no reason. We grew up in the inner city close to a suburb, and I went to school in the suburbs. I watched my dad get pulled over by the cops every single day in 1 week for no reason. I was probably in the sixth grade at the time. It was just kind of like a harassment thing. But it's just, the interaction with the cops, with the black men are different than what may happen with white young boys growing up.
Different and constant, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like, even if we tell them, as we've seen in so many circumstances, like George Floyd, if we tell them, put your hands, well, I know it's called the talk. I don't know if that's just like a formal name, but all mothers have the talk with sons when they become driving age or, if you get pulled over by the cops. Put your hands on the wheel so they won't think you're grabbing anything. But we've seen in many circumstances, and it's a whole spiel about, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But we've seen how when we've done the right thing, sometimes it still is not, it leaves us dead with another hashtag mark. So when my sons are playing with cars or, they're running down the sidewalk chasing after the sirens, it's just instantly in my head because I know their joy and love for the police at this stage is going to fade because the realities of how they're targeted unfairly and what I have to prepare them for is just, it's not going to have that same joy as, oh, they're here for us. They're our saviors.
Protectors
So when they're playing
and
with these cars, it's like the instant thought that came in my head was, man, when and how am I going to tell them the reality of how they are targets and how to quote unquote cooperate with the police? It's just something that white moms don't have to think about because they get treated with more dignity and the police kind of like, the questions are asked later if they're even asked at all. I don't even allow my kids to play with toy guns because of how I was raised up. And we've seen incidents with like Tamir Rice playing with a toy gun and things of that nature. It's just different. It's just that's the part of the other America that, I'm not a male, but I grew up with males around me and my dad, and I've seen it. And I'm familiar with all the stories that didn't get publicized, that didn't get media attention, that was just a part of our everyday lives, our conversations of, yeah, this happened and this happened. And it's like, okay, it's just added stress.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to point out when you mentioned that your dad got pulled over every day and over the course of a week, my white gasp. And the reason I'm pointing it out is because, first of all, that's like it's a white fragility and white privilege response to gasp when a Black person shares that this happened in their life. And the fact that this was normal to you, and I am like, my breath is taken away as a white woman, is speaks again to this like reality of two Americas. I also want to encourage people who are listening to like not gasp when someone shares their lived
Well,
experience.
it's okay to be shocked, and that's a
right. And
part of
there's
being
like,
aware.
exactly. And it's interesting. I follow a lot of race educators online, and they are so generous in their constant reminders that like the things that surprise a white parent don't surprise a Black parent. Like, or a Black family, probably not even you as a Black little girl to be like, oh, yeah, dad got pulled over again. And this is horrifying to me as a 46-year-old woman. And these are things that are not surprising to, because again, the two Americas. So I so appreciate you. I appreciate your response, but I also wanted to acknowledge like my response being, it was my natural response. And also there's a level of it that's inappropriate and gross kind of showing. So I want to point that out as well.
But then again, see, that goes back to the awareness, I think. Like, if you're not aware of it, like, yeah, that's shocking. And I feel like we need to be aware of these things. Totally. And it seems like now with social media or like all these videos being posted, that people are becoming more aware of what we've already been aware.
Yeah. The things that are not shocking to you. Like, we're...
Yeah.
It's new. It's new to the 46-year-old white lady. Like, yeah, welcome to my life. I mean, and we're talking about it with levity here, and it's not a light topic, but I think that this is like, we have to start here.
It's scary. And, you know, and then having a husband, you know, like every time, and this is, I don't know if this is, what is this feeling, but every time, even for me, and I'm not even a male, because it's been instances with Black females not being treated fairly, I would say, by the cops pulled over. But, you know, my heart, every time a cop is behind me or around me, like, I kind of like stop breathing a little bit. I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, my husband told me the other day he got pulled over. You know, I was just so nervous because it could have been the same situation. Like, he couldn't have, I'm thankful that he made it home. It's that serious. Like, I'm just thankful, you know, that he made it home, because a situation like we've been exposed to on the media as of late, it can turn left without rhyme or reason
so fast. Recently have, my son's school is pretty close to our house, and I've gone to pick him up a few times without grabbing my wallet. And so I'll just hop in the car. I'm like, I'm driving just a few blocks. Like, I don't need my wallet. And I've had I've caught myself thinking, it's because I'm a white person that I can do that. Like, if I get caught without my ID on me, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I'm not gonna, like, I might have a fine, or I might, like, it might be problematic. It might cost me some money, but the risk to me as a white woman being caught without my ID and getting pulled over, well, first of all, my chances of getting pulled over are going to be lower. And then my chances of having consequences for not having my ID on me and just being able to kind of talk my way out of it. Like, I can blow this off and be like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Whereas the reality, it would be totally different. If you or your husband left your house without your ID, and it would be, and you just gave such a powerful example of that, like the fear around getting pulled over and like having your hands in the right place and being able to access your ID and being able to immediately do everything you could to keep yourself safe and protected in that moment is so different. And I think it's important that that white people, white moms listening to this, catch ourselves in those moments to recognize, like, this is something that I can get away with, and having conscientiousness around this. Like, I'm not telling people they should go drive without their license, but having this level of awareness that, like, there's not a lot of risk for me in doing that. And that's not true for everyone.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, they're so young, and they're, you know, they're smiling and they're playing. And it's like, I want to shield them. It's like, on one hand, I want to shield them from the horrors. Like, of the world. But it's like, I know I would be doing them an injustice.
Yeah.
And that brings awareness back again. So I have to teach them in an age appropriate manner of, to get them aware to what may happen or what sometimes happens, and how to, just the best advice that I could. Cause, you know, like I said, you never know how things will go down, but that's the tricky part, finding a balance of how to do it, when to do it, and just not making them like fearful. Like, you still want them to keep that childlike joy, but I think awareness is still appropriate. Like, you have to tell, I have to tell my son, you know, because he's, like I said, he's tall, and now he look older than what he is. So by him being aware, just hopefully will help a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you tell us what impact you want your debut book to have on families in our last minute or two here?
Yes. We want young boys, we want them to be empowered. We want families to read this, and it's targeted towards young boys, young Black boys. And we want them to read this and feel empowered, kind of like an empowerment resource. Like, we want them to be able to have these young boys be raised. This is kind of like a helpful aid to help raise a respectable, confident, and caring man, as, you know, they will become. Well, hopefully, as a mom, if we can raise a respectable, confident, and caring man, that's one of the most important things that we can do to change the world as a mom.
Absolutely.
So,
and as a, know, and I was, and that's for all moms. That's
for all
moms, regardless of which America you're growing up in. Because if I can do that with my white son, he's going to have awareness around both Americas. And if you're doing that with your black son, then he also is going to hopefully have that confidence to go out and overcome some of the obstacles of both Americas.
Exactly. So, like, we have a lot of weight as moms. We can do that, we are changing the world.
Yeah.
I mean, the world does need changing. So hopefully, you know, these young boys growing up, they're on this path to become more respectable, more confident, more caring. And so, like, when the young boys finish reading the book or when their parents finish reading it with them, we want them to know that they have power within themselves to empower themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't have to rely on someone else to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's teaching them how to do it. It's teaching them how to speak life into themselves mm-hmm. and how to build up their minds. They may not understand what they're doing, but by them doing it now and seeing goals come to fruition, mm-hmm. that's powerful.
Can you tell us how you're currently showing up as a shameless mom? You've given us so many great examples.
Several ways. Okay. So professionally, like I said, I had to adjust. Mm-hmm. But by me adjusting, I'm showing up because I'm still going after the things that I want to do professionally. Mm-hmm. I'm not just, you know, stuck in the past on how things had to go pre-kids, being flexible with the reality of the present and saying, hey, okay, let's change it up a bit because you can still get things done. Let's just get these schedules reorganized and figure it out, you know? So that's one major way. And self-care, which is mandatory. I have to get that in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially at 35 weeks pregnant, very mandatory.
Oh my goodness. I have to take, it's just necessary. Mm-hmm. It's whatever needs to be moved. Okay. Because mommy has to take care of mommy because mm-hmm. nothing else is going to get done.
Yeah.
And I think also by me raising or having encouraging my children to be independent children, I think that is also allowing me to show up as a shameless mom because they're not so dependent or relying on me for things that they can do at their age right now.
They're project managers by age 6.
Yes. Okay. Right. You know, they know how to brush their teeth on their own. They don't need mommy in there picking out clothes. You can pick out your clothes. Mm-hmm. You can do this. And you know, and also that had to tie in with how I arranged the house for me to have that. Because see, this gives me more mommy time, more shameless mom time.
Yes. I love it. I want Penny, you to tell everyone where they can find you, connect with you, and also where can they get your book, I Am Enough?
Yes. Please visit our website, thecreekpublishing.com. That has links to all our social media. We are on Facebook. We are also on Instagram. Facebook is /thecreekpublishing. Instagram is Penny Decree.
Okay. We will have everything linked up in the show notes. So if people go to shamelessmom.com and click on the episode with Penny Decree, they can get everything right there. Penny, oh my goodness. Thank you for being here. Thank you for having this conversation. This is, I know, a conversation that requires a significant amount of emotional labor. So I just want to honor that you showed up and you engaged in a way that it's not the easiest conversation to have. And you were just really generous in your thoughts and words and contributions. And I'm so, so grateful. And also wishing you all the luck in the world with little baby number 3.
Thank you. And we appreciate the interview. We appreciate our time.
Thank you so much for joining me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. I really, really appreciate you being here, and I hope you learned something new. As always, this conversation will be continued over in our free private Facebook group. You can join that group by going to shamelessmom.com/Facebook to connect with other shameless moms just like you. Additionally, if this is your first time listening to the show, know that we are here every Monday and Wednesday with a brand new episode. So make sure you subscribe. Go to whatever podcast app you use and subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. You can do that directly if you go to shamelessmom.com/review. That will put you in Apple Podcasts, where you can click on the subscribe button and You can also leave a review. If you scroll down a little bit, you can leave a 5-star review. You can write a few sentences letting me know what you thought about the show. If you let me know how the show has impacted you in becoming a more shameless mom, you might be nominated to be Shameless Mom of the Week. Also, please share this episode. My goal is to help more mamas be more shameless every damn day. So please do share this episode. You can take a screenshot of the episode on your phone and then share it out on social media. Tag me at the Shameless Mom Academy on Facebook or Instagram. I'm quick to reply and eager to send you Facebook love and love to be connected to all of you. So again, thank you for being here. I can't wait to be back here again with you in just a couple days. And until then, no matter what you do today, make sure you do it shamelessly.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.